We want to start out this morning by, well, of course, we thank God for this opportunity, and I want to thank you, Brother Jeff, for calling us Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, for giving him that liberty. Those of you who know me know the last few weeks I've done 3 funerals. And if I were to tell you that it's not hard on me when I have to do that many funerals back to back, it's very difficult. But I'm not doing a funeral this morning, and I praise God for that. And if I were to ask anything of this church, I want you to do yourself and your God and this church a favor. And Danny, I've been around a lot of grief, and it troubles my heart and it troubles my mind. Some have the hope that we've talked about this morning, and some don't. If you don't have that hope that we're hoping that we can relate to you this morning, you need to find that hope. And you'll not find it in me or any other man or any other woman. You may have had a good father. You may have had a good mother. You may have had somebody in your life that made a great impression on you. But the only hope that I can tell you about that is everlasting comes through Jesus Christ. And my request this morning is let's try to put all those things behind us for just a little while. While we're in this service this morning, let's try to, I'm going to do my best to forget about those funerals. I'm going to do my best to forget about the troubles and cares of this world. I'm not ignorant of what's going on around us out there, but I'm going to tell you what, this is a sanctuary this morning. It's a place we can come to, and we can put all those things aside, and we come here this morning to praise and worship God. And so often we get so caught up in all these other things that we forget what we were put here for and why he saved us out of destruction. And there's only one reason he done that we might please him. And I want to rejoice this morning. I want to rejoice in the Lord. And I want to forget about all those things that trouble my mind and trouble my very being. I want to put those things aside. I want to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, for he is worthy, and he is all that is worthy. Nothing else around us today is worthy of our praise. Nothing else around us today is worthy of our attention other than him. And that's what he desires today, is that we just put our focus on him just for a little while. I'm not an ignorant man. I know that as soon as this service is over, and some of us won't even make it to that point, all the troubles and cares of this world will tumble down upon us. We'll get to thinking about one thing or another that's going on, about our health. So me and Danny was talking about there earlier, and I said, Danny, we're old men. One thing I got a promise of in the Word of God, that this outward man would perish. Sometimes it's a little faster than what we'd like it to be. Amen? Amen. I sit down and was searching the Word of God, and over in Romans, this scripture. Well, I'm gonna start in John. I had set aside this scripture in Romans, and I'm going to get to it, but I feel like I need to go over here in the, excuse me, in the 16th chapter of John, just for one little verse. The 33rd verse. The sister back here earlier, she was talking about, you know, the things we turn our attention to. You know, so often we don't want to hear what people have to say around us. And this is how this scripture starts out. The things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You want to know why we don't have any peace this morning? You want to know why it's so difficult for us, even in this a little bit of time that we were talking about in this service, that it's so difficult for us to just have a little peace just for a little while? Because we turn our attention to everything else. Suffering with allergies. This is my most dreadful time of year. You know, I told you it's so hard for us to turn our attention, because this body, Danny, It'll do everything it can to get our attention away from God. It'll start tickling our throat. The old devil, he just sends in them little things, you know. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. I'm not going to tell you, well, all you got to do is just put everything aside. It's a battle. The Bible tells us that it is a warfare between us and the devil, that we constantly are struggling in this flesh. Just get in touch with God. Amen. Yeah, somebody said earlier, just those few times, just every once in a while, when God passes by and he quickens your spirit and we feel that presence of God. Have you ever really felt the presence of God when everything just went away, everything just disappeared? And in that moment, when I was in a moment of complete and utter, everything was just falling apart around me, and all of a sudden, God came on the scene. Woo! He just came in, Daddy, and there was a peace that come over me. Whew. He's talking about when he got saved. No, that was good too. But I'm talking about when my whole world crashed. Whew. Already had that peace down inside me. That's where it come from. It was a reminder that he promised me peace. Whew. And he delivers. Yeah. My goodness. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. When utter chaos, Mark just sets in all around us, when everything seems so hopeless, and we go into our little closet, in our little private place with God, we have that communion with him, that oneness, and we feel his very presence. Have you ever felt it? Have you ever just felt like the presence of God is right there? You can't see it. You can't touch it. The Bible said it was a light like the wind. You knew it existed. You don't know where it come from or where it's going, but all of a sudden, there it is. Oh, it's wonderful. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Desire it. Desire it more than anything you've ever desired before in your life. And I'll tell you what, you'll have that presence of God. You'll have that oneness with God. You want to know what brought me through all these funerals that I've done here lately? That knowing that that's not the end of it. When somebody, that is not all there is to it. When I lay this body down, I have a hope beyond what this very world exists for. If this was all there was, I believe with Paul, he said, I'd be a man most miserable. If this is all there is, sound like the Sunday school class, doesn't it, brother? I'd be disappointed if it didn't. That's the way my God works. He validates. He said, I give you peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You know what? If all I done walked around with a frown on my face all the time, and all I done was walked around all the time, woe is me, and all I done all the time was walked around as one that had no hope, what would the world see? What would these lost souls see? If all I done, well, yeah, I believe in God. He's good and everything like that. But you know, over here, you know what's going on? People are going to say, well, he don't care a bit more about God because he just went over there somewhere. I won't tell you about God this morning. I don't care what's going on out there. I don't care what's going on. I know that word. I don't even like that word. I don't care. But I want us to understand that we need to forget about those things just for a little bit. And it's a struggle. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Have you overcame the world this morning? Oh, that's talking about Jesus. He overcome the world. How do you overcome the world? Through Christ Jesus. That's how you do it. It's the only way you'll ever do it. Amen. One little old verse right there. I could preach on that the rest of the day, but I'll tell you what. He took me to another place, and I want to get over there, and it's in Romans, because I love this. It's over in the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1. I could have probably done this in less verses, but I'm going to read 1 through 11 anyway. Because I felt like we need to hear all of this. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. One day as a young boy, I went down on an altar. Come up justified by faith. How'd I get to the altar? I'd heard the gospel preached and it pricked my very being. And the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call, whatever you feel comfortable with, it passed by. And it revealed to me that I was lost. And that if I only way I was going to get justification in that was to come down to an altar. And I came down to that altar, I repented unto the satisfaction of God. And when I repented unto the satisfaction of God, then he gave me satisfaction. He gave me justification. Amen. Then he said, put it to work. Oh, you started preaching? No, I got up. That's what I done. I got up, Daddy. He said, put it to work. Get up. I raised up off that altar. I got up. The commandment of God, I got up. Put that faith to work. Put it to work. Right then and there, I got up. Went long after that, buddy. I tell you what, the world was a different world back then. I may have got saved that morning. They may have baptized me that evening. I'm not really sure. Daddy may know more about that, but it was a different world, wasn't it, Daddy? When somebody got up and they gave a testimony of salvation and they gave a desire to be a part of the kingdom of God and the house of God, I'll tell you what, they take you down to the baptism, down to the water, and they baptize you. It was a different world. Different salvation? No. No. Some things never change. Oh, Danny Cooper says, I love that song. I'm so glad some things never change. And the blood, it still flows a crimson red. I'm not going to sing to you, but man, I love that song. Because everything in the world today is changing. Constantly changing. Everything's changing, but the blood of Jesus Christ will never change. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I don't get that, Scott, when people tell me, well, I believe that God is the God of all heavens, and I believe this and that, but this man, Jesus Christ, he was a good man. He possibly a prophet. But I don't believe he's the Son of Jesus Christ. And my Bible tells me you can't have one without the other. You can't do it. You cannot say, well, I believe in this, but I don't believe in that. You got to have one. They got to work together as one. And I tell you what, all three of them work together as one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all three. They work together as one in perfection. And we're to strive for perfection. Be thou also with access by faith into this grace. I pray a lot for grace. You know that? Because he said, my grace is sufficient. I'm not praying for saving grace. I'm praying for that God have enough grace to have patience with me, for one thing. I say, God, give us all grace. Give us grace. Give us that grace. Give us that is sufficient. That we might be able to run this race with the patience that God you've instilled in us. That we might be able to see those ones that are ignorant of the word of God. That we might be able to reveal it to them in a way that would be a magnitude unto you. Give us that this morning. And every day and every hour and every minute of the rest of our lives. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in his tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I had a woman tell me one time, she said, I used to pray about that God would give me patience and everything like that. She said, I don't do that anymore. And I said, why not, sis? She said, I found that with the tribulations came on me. She said, all these troubles and things came on me. She said, so I don't pray for that anymore. And I said, honey, you're just starting to figure it out then. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. I told you about a young man that started preaching almost 30 years ago. A lot of things have changed in my life. For one thing, the knowledge that I have of the Word of God has changed a lot. You say, now you're bragging. No, I'm telling you that God will reveal things to you, and He'll open up passages of this Bible that you never realized ever existed. He'll open those things up to you, and He'll give you an understanding of them. He said, study to prove yourself worthy of this. Get in there, dig deep. There's meat that we haven't even chewed into yet. We've not even got into. Even after all these almost 30 years of studying and digging and praying and all these times that we were, God, just give me an understanding of this. And somebody had asked me a question like, God said, do you remember that scripture? Now, here's how you enlighten on that. Because I had also read this other scripture, and I'd read this other scripture, and I'd got diligent in this. Sometimes we need to really dig, and we need to let God know that we're serious, that we want a better understanding of grace, that we want a better understanding of patience. We need knowledge of the Word of God, and that knowledge only comes through the aid of the Holy Spirit. It's a dead letter without it. And patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Weren't you glad of that? I'm so glad of that. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love that. I've heard it said, when I deserved death, he gave me life. When I'd already been convicted, tried, convicted, and went right up before the throne of grace, and I deserved death, he stepped in and he said, life. I was guilty as sin. I know that's foolishness, but I didn't know how else to say it, Mark. I was guilty of sin. And God stepped in, gave me life. That deserved death, didn't deserve anything more than that, Brother Ronnie. That's all I deserved was death. You've known me a long time, brother. All I deserved was death. And God said, nay, life. I get excited. You know, he's a miracle worker. Took this old rebellious human being. That after he, I'll tell you what, I struggled one time. I said, why in the world would God save me? He knew what kind of man I was going to be. He knew that as a young man, after he had saved my soul, God already knew what kind of man I was going to be. He already had a foreknowledge of what I was going to, how I was going to react to things, how I was going to say, well, you know, when I got to the age where I considered myself a man, I said, I don't have no use for God. I already know everything anyway. Ain't that the way we are? I'm going to go out here. I'm going to try it on my own. And I went out into the world, and I was there for a season. And God sent a reminder. Talking to some young men over at my work. Ronnie, you may have been one of them, because they were asking a lot of questions. I remember Brother Jesse Cox and some of them other young men. They'd come to me and they'd remind me. They said, God would remind me by sending these young men to me. And they said, well, your dad's a preacher. Ain't that right? I said, yes, he is. Then they'd start asking me scriptures questions about scriptures and things Ronnie I'd learned back when I was in Sunday school, actually when I was a young boy and sat under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, those things would come back to me. And I remember Jesse asked me about something very specific one time, and I said, no, I said, this is what it's actually talking about. And I was able to enlighten him a little bit on that. And then God come on the scene, and he said, you're either for me or you're against me. One or the other, you can't have it both ways. And I come under such a great conviction. Conviction is something, it just isn't settled to any once we get saved. We'll have conviction all the rest of our lives. It's something that, keeps us in line. Amen? It keeps us in line. You say, well, you're talking about a dark time in your life. No, I'm talking about a good time in my life. I'm talking about when God come on the scene. And I tell you, I went home, cleaned myself up. This was on a Friday. Cleaned myself up, washed myself up, and got all dressed and everything. My wife looked at me and she said, where are you going? In past practice, she wouldn't see me again probably till Monday morning. I'd see her at work. And I'd be gone all weekend. I'd be out in the bars. I'd be out doing all those despicable things, all those abominable things unto God, all those terrible things unto God. And I said, I'm going to church with you. And my little baby girl, little Chrissy, was singing with a singing group. And I remember walking into that church, Daddy, and I seen fear on some people's eyes. I seen some people just didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to take that because I was a mean man. I had run the church by my house one time when they come and they were taking action against me. Boy, I'm glad they took that action. That little daughter of mine up there singing her little heart out, and Daddy, I'm telling you what. He said, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he says, much more then, this is what I want to get to, much more then, one little act of obedience as a little bitty boy, one little act of obedience gave me so much more than what I had before. And so one little act of obedience, I was over there on my job, and these young men were coming to me, and God spoke to me, and I said, Lord, Daddy, I already knew what God expected of me, but I asked this foolish question. I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I already knew what I was supposed to do. I already knew that I had to go back, and I had to make things right with God. I had to make things right with my church. I had to make things right with my family. Woo! I already knew it. I said, God, what would you have me to do? Whew. Much more. God has so much more in store for you. God has so much more in store for me. So much more. Well, now he's talking about heaven. Oh, well, I'm glad we don't have to wait. I'm glad, Daddy, I don't have to wait till I get there. Said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more. If when we were enemies unto God, when we were lost and undone without God, and we didn't know God, if he died for us in that state, how much more does he love you? Now that you are his child, how much more? I love that word. Much more. I got hooked on blessed one time, Daddy. Preached I don't know how long on blessed. You ever think about that little word, blessed? What is blessed? More than blessed. How much is much more? It's more than. We're not just, I hope, pray that you get this. You're not just blessed. You are blessed of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord. You are chosen of God. People say, well, that was Israel. Well, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't know how you feel about it, but that Israel over there, it don't exist anymore. If there is an Israel today, it is the chosen of God. It is those that God has set out and said, this is my people. This is my chosen. If you think about it, who was Israel? They were chosen out of Jewish generations to be the chosen of God. Do whatever you want to with that. Chew on that. Meditate on that. Do something with it. Don't just wipe it out of your mind. You won't be more than just blessed. You won't be blessed. You can be. Well, I'm a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Boy, I wish that was all there was to it, Danny. I wish all I had to do was put my name on the church book. You know, there's names all over church books. There's all over a missionary Baptist, every kind of Baptist, every kind of this, every kind of that. There's names all over everywhere. 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 But there's only one thing that makes you blessed. You're more than just blessed. Well, that's enough. I had that attitude, didn't I, Danny? I had that attitude. I told people, I said, well, if I can just get to heaven just hanging over the corner by my fingernails. Said that right to that old elder's face back here. I called him an elder. He's the same age as I am, but he was an elder in the Church of the Living God, and I looked at him, and I told him right to his face. I said, leave me alone. I said, if I can get to heaven just hanging over by my fingernails, I said, that's enough. You ever heard anything more ignorant or more arrogant or what was that word? Stupid? In your whole life? Blessed is good, but blessed is better. More is good, but much more is better. Much more, sister, is when Mark sits down at the table and you fixed his favorite meal and you walk up there and you label him out a spoonful, and boy, he's looking at that, and he's just salivating all over himself, and he just grinning from ear to ear, and he's thinking, man, this is going to be good. And all of a sudden, you dig in again, and you put another big dollop on his plate. But then he just, it's much more. Mark, do you see where I'm going with this, brother? Do you know what I'm talking about? Much more. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more. He wants so much more. God wants so much more for you and I. He don't want this to be all that there is. And there again, heaven is wonderful, but I'm not there yet. I'm on my way, and I'll be there, but I want so much more before I get there. Because when I get there, Daddy, I can't even get to a bed. I'm limited. I'm limited. In here, I love to go over and read over and when John was trying to describe heaven and he started picking out all the precious things that man held precious. He started talking about them pearls and those streets of gold, you know, that was like transparent glass. And he's talking about those, all those beautiful jewels, those some of them I can't even pronounce, all those lovely jewels, all these things. He started talking about all these things, and he was limited. He was using things that you and I can understand, but I'm going to tell you something, and you can say, well, I know I'm just an ignorant old man, but I believe when we get there, we're going to say, but John, is that all you had? Boy, I don't even begin to describe what was waiting for me. I believe when it talked about Jesus over there and it talked about how he was arrayed and all that beauty and all that splendor and all that stuff and how he's, all the great beauty, when it talks about that and we get there and we will, I'll tell you what, finally we'll be able to look upon him. Finally, we'll be able to look upon him. Some people are going to look upon him in shame. Some are blessed, but they're not blessed. And Daddy, they're still going to look upon him with a little bit of shame because they ignored what the Word of God was trying to teach them. And they said, this is enough. I'm picking on Mark. Mark, you sit down and you ate that. And you got that much more. And you think, I'm satisfied. I'm full. And you start to get up. And all of a sudden, here that beautiful little woman comes with that piece of pie. Oh, I know I preach a lot about food, guys, but you preach on what you understand. That beautiful. You like an olive oil? That's a little bit more. That's more than this much. That's a little bit more. That's a little bit more. And for if we were enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not by his death, by his life. I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve that dead son. My hope came, Danny, when they went to the tomb and the napkin was folded just perfectly right to let the disciples know that he had risen. It was a message to them that that napkin that covered his face was folded just perfection and laid there. And they saw that napkin and they knew that he had risen, that he was alive. Whew. I didn't make that up, Scott. That's in the Word of God. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. My goodness. I got Mark, I got your mind off from it for a little bit, didn't I? Started talking about one of our favorite subjects. One of my favorite songs has always been, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Not just anybody can eat at that table. I wandered the dark world, barely surviving for many years, and all the time he had a feast set out before me. Are you starving? Are you hungry? Do you desire something more? Or do you desire something much more? Are you satisfied? See, when I got saved, Mark, he blessed my soul. It took me a lot of years to become blessed of the Lord. When I made that decision, Ronnie, over there on that job. And I said, God, what would you have me to do? I never thought for a minute that God would ever speak to me like that again. I've been such a despicable human being all those years, and I never thought. I remember that feeling when the Lord spoke to me on the altar and how he did. He saved my soul, and I had turned it away so many times after that. I actually had justified in my mind the things that I was doing. Thank God. Spoke to me so tenderly. So tenderly and so loving. And he didn't come at me and he didn't start beating me with a stick and screaming and hollering at me and reprimanding me. He come to me. Because I remember I went back to where I was a little boy, Cheryl, and how my heart was broken. No, I didn't get saved again. That was sufficient as a little boy. And I remember the joy of his salvation that day. And oh, my soul yearned for that. Oh, it cried for that. And he wrapped those arms of love around me. And I said, God, I said, what would you have me to do? And he gave me much more than what I'd ever had before. I know that sounds like a cliche also, but so much more. If you desire, I went back to the church. I was in for a little while. I want you to understand how easy this is. It's not that complicated. I've been back in church for a little while, and I was, boy, I could feel the Spirit. It passed by. Boy, I was eating that up. I loved it. Then God spoke to me again, and I got up one day. I walked up in front of that church, and I said, I have something I have to do. And I even had one man tell me, he said, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, yes, I do. I said, I've made my apologies unto God. And I said, he's accepted them. I said, now I make my apologies to this church. And I pray that you'll accept them. And I said, I beg my wife and my children. I said, because I've not been a husband and I've not been the father that I ought to be. And I beg you to forgive me. Arms of love. Arms of love. And all it's been, all these years, honey, when I thought I couldn't handle any more, couldn't stand any more, that there wouldn't be any more, it's been much more. My wife, Carla, she, bless her heart, we'll eat a big old meal, and she said, boy, I'm satisfied. And me and her get in the car, and we'll be driving down through there, and she says, she'll look at me, she got that cute little look she'll give me, and she'd say, she knows where I'm going. Would you like to have it? We ice cream. Ice cream. Some people, it's always room for jelly, honey. Jello, honey. And with us, it's ice cream. God bless each and every one of you. Don't be satisfied. Desire much more. Desire not to be just blessed, but to be blessed. Amen? I hope you understand this. I hope and pray just for just this little bit. Just this little bit. You forgot about all the hate that is in this world. And you remembered why God saved you, because he loved you. That you forgot about how Satan is just running rampant. They were talking about these movements with the gays and all these other things, and I'll probably get in trouble if she's putting this on the internet, but that's all right. I've been in trouble before. Anybody that knows me will tell you that, and they're talking about all these movements and everything. Well, they're going to move. But sooner or later, God will say it is enough, and he'll bring it all to an end. God has nothing to do with us. As selfish as we like to think, as we are, and as much as we would like to think that the whole world survives around us, we are that selfish. Yes, Cheryl, Mark does revolve around you. I mean, that's, I see why. You're beautiful, you're a loving wife, you're a wonderful woman. But God doesn't. We have to encompass him and desire him. Amen. God bless you.